welcome to Nightlights. This is David Brent Johnson, and for the next hour, we'll be listening to jazz and dialogue from a 1957 Robert Altman documentary about one of Hollywood's most enduring icons. It's the James Dean story, coming up on this edition of Nightlights.
James Dean died today. He had lived with a great hunger.
Chet Baker and Bud Shank playing Let Me Be Loved, written by the Oscar-winning songwriting team of Jay Livingston and Ray Evans, from the Pacific Jazz CD The James Dean Story, recorded in November of 1956. We'll be playing music and dialogue from the 1957 documentary The James Dean Story on this edition of Nightlights. Next Friday marks the 50th anniversary of the actor's death at the age of 24 in a California car accident. Dean made only 3 movies, completed in little over a year, but he's become a cinematic icon on the level of Marilyn Monroe and Marlon Brando. Along with Brando and author J.D. Salinger's fictional character Holden Caulfield from Catcher in the Rye, Dean heralded a new kind of hero in American culture, rebellious, vulnerable, conflicted, and young. He had a strong influence on another giant of the 1950s, Elvis Presley, who made his national TV debut 4 months after Dean's death and who said, "I've made a study of poor Jimmy Dean." Dean's tragic early demise provoked a movie fan hysteria matched only by the reaction to Rudolph Valentino's death decades earlier, and it was partly that which inspired a young Robert Altman, future director of movies such as MASH, Nashville, and The Player, to make a 1957 documentary about him, along with his partner George W. George. The script was written by Stuart Stern, a friend of Dean's who had been a screenwriter for Rebel Without a Cause. The jazz score is written by Leith Stevens, who had also done jazz soundtracks for The Wild One and Private Hell 36. It was recorded by a group of West Coast musicians led by trumpeter Chet Baker and alto saxophonist and flutist Bud Shank. We'll hear narrator Martin Gable now talking about how young people responded to James Dean on the screen in the 1950s, followed by The Search from Leith Stevens' soundtrack.
From Maine to Manila, from Tokyo to Rome, he seemed to express some of the things they couldn't find the words for. Rage, rebellion, hope, the lonely awareness that growing up is pain. They wore what he wore. They walked as he walked. They played the parts they saw him play. And they searched for the answers they thought he was searching for. Some found a kinship they had never known before. Youth mourned itself in the passing of James Dean. Because he died young and belonged to no one, every girl could feel that he belonged to her alone. Because he died violently, every boy could use him as a warning to his parents. If you don't start understanding me, I could go the same way. A hero made of their loneliness. A legend woven from their restlessness, their energy, their despair. Thank you. There are two ways of coming to Fairmount. We came by road. Jimmy Dean came by rail. He was 9 years old. The body of his mother was on the same train. It was a lonesome way to come home. For the years of his life, Jimmy looked to this town and the farms around it as his source and his beginning. A quiet land to come home to. A place to replenish himself. The road he traveled that first day became an artery of his life. It lies between cornfields and meadows, passes close to the Quaker church where he prayed, passes Mr. Carter's motorcycle shop, where he learned about speed, and the cemetery, with its generations of Winslows and Deans. The road comes at last to the heart of his childhood, the Winslow farm.
Actor Martin Gable narrating from the James Dean story. We also heard the musical track The Search from the soundtrack. Seen today, the James Dean story seems dated in some respects, particularly in its rehearsed interviews with Dean's friends, family, and acquaintances, many of them filmed by Robert Altman in Dean's hometown of Fairmount, Indiana. And yet it's often touching and sensitive and ahead of its time in the use of photo stills, in some ways anticipating how Ken Burns and other future documentary makers would use them. That use gave Robert Altman his education in the zoom lens, which would form an important part of his later cinematic style. And Altman, who initially set out to debunk and demystify Dean, as he would do to other cultural icons in future films, found himself, according to his biographer Patrick McGilligan, stymied by Dean, who was, like Altman, a Midwesterner, a searching artist, and someone who had transformed himself into a sympathetic public figure. The resulting portrait was much more complex and ambivalent, reflecting the nature of its subject, and ironically, in its ultimate homage, it served to enhance the James Dean myth that Altman had hoped to humanize. We'll hear more clips from the movie now, along with People and Lost Love, from the soundtrack to the James Dean story on Nightlights.
It seemed like something happened to Jimmy. He started pulling into himself and didn't share things with us anymore. But maybe that's just growing up.
Nothing he tried satisfied his hunger. He began to say goodbye to Fairmount and his childhood. Restlessness possessed him. He must move somewhere. And motion makes any road seem right. He must find a face for the image he called self. Who am I, he wondered. I don't want to be alone. I don't want to be different. I need people, but I keep pushing them away. I've got all this love to give. He took his envy to the beach. He looked at the ocean, and he was jealous of its power.
Thank you.
The city showed him its 9 million faces, and he tried to absorb them all. He found them on subways and in the bars, on the waterfronts, Greenwich Village, in places where it wasn't safe to go. He tried to feel what he thought they felt. I love. I belong to someone. I don't belong to anyone. Always the onlooker. Always just outside. He stood still long enough to make friends with a girl. Arlene Sachs.
I knew him. Once I told him I loved him, but he pretended he didn't hear. And then he said, you can't love me, and I don't think anyone can yet. We listened to music together, Bartok and Schoenberg and Mozart. And he read me The Little Prince. It was his favorite book, because it was about him. Told about a little boy who came from a star where he planted a rose. The boy loved to look at the stars because he had faith that somewhere on one of them a single rose was hoping he'd come home. Then the little boy died. Well, once he was playing his recorder, he hit a wrong note and he burst out crying. That made me cry too. And all of a sudden he'd do something no one ever thought of doing before. So you'd have to laugh at that. Then I'd see his mind go away and hide somewhere, and I'd ask him what he was thinking. He'd say, I'm thinking of my mother. And I'd say, do you miss her? And he'd say, come on, let's get a hot dog. And we would.
Thank you.
Chet Baker and Bud Shank performing Lost Love and People from the soundtrack to The James Dean Story. Robert Altman and George W. George's film told of James Dean's struggles to become an actor in California and then New York. It also described his growing reputation as an eccentric troublemaker and his theatrical success in New York that led to his huge break in Hollywood, making a film with director Elia Kazan.
Jimmy developed a reputation as the most troublesome young actor in New York. When he came to rehearsal, his directors never knew from minute to minute just what he planned to do next. Or if he planned to come at all. An actor said,
"He plays my nephew, and I'm supposed to say you will forgive him if he acts a little strange. But how can I say he acts a little strange when the son of a gun is crazy?"
Why do I do these things, Jimmy wondered. And he really didn't know. His next performance was in Gide's The Immoralist by Ruth and Augustus Getz. Jimmy was part of an excellent cast. Geraldine Page, Louis Jourdain, and David J. Stewart. He played an Arab boy and had to perform a seductive, insinuating dance. The Arab boy lived in a date grove on the desert and came between a husband and his wife and destroyed them both. On opening night, the critics greeted him as a brilliant and promising young star. And he remembered the ocean he had envied, and the seagull in its flight. And he knew he had found his power.
Dialogue and the musical track Rebel at Work from Robert Altman's 1957 documentary and Leith Stevens soundtrack about James Dean. This is David Brent Johnson, and you're listening to the James Dean Story on Nightlights. Playing music and dialogue from the 1957 Robert Altman and George W. George documentary, The James Dean Story, on this edition of Nightlights. This wasn't the last time that jazz or James Dean would figure in a Robert Altman film. In the early 1980s, he'd make a critical comeback of sorts with his filmed version of the play Come Back to the Five and Dime, Jimmy Dean, Jimmy Dean. And in the 1990s, he would make a film about his hometown, Kansas City, set in the 1930s and featuring many prominent jazz musicians. He also used jazz in his soundtrack for the movie Shortcuts. The soundtrack for the James Dean Story, written by Leith Stevens, was performed by a group of West Coast jazz musicians co-led by Chet Baker and Bud Shank. Because of his photogenic looks and brooding, quiet, almost inarticulate charisma, Baker was often called the James Dean of Jazz after Dean's death, and his participation in this album may have been a further attempt to market him that way. Unlike Dean, Baker would live a long time and leave no illusions whatsoever of eternal youth. Warner Brothers pushed the documentary and its score aggressively. 6,000 promotional copies of the soundtrack were sent out to DJs when the film was released in 1957. We'll hear more from the movie and the score now, starting with James Dean's leap to stardom through the part of Cal in Elia Kazan's East of Eden, based on a portion of John Steinbeck's novel.
Action! William Zinsser's review in the New York Herald Tribune was not only a description of his role in East of Eden, but also of Jimmy himself. He wrote, "Everything about him suggests the lonely, misunderstood 19-year-old. He has the wounded look of an orphan trying to piece together the shabby facts of his heritage. Occasionally he smiles, as if at some dark joke known only to himself. You sense badness in him, but you also like him."
Thank you.
Chet Baker and Bud Shank performing Lee Stevens' Hollywood from the soundtrack to the James Dean story. Film critic Pauline Kael, who did not share others' admiration for Dean's performance in East of Eden, nevertheless admitted its power. "There is a new image in American film," she wrote. "The young boy is beautiful, disturbed animal, so full of love he's defenseless." She called Dean's aura beautiful desperation. In February of 1955, around the time that East of Eden opened, Dean went back to his hometown of Fairmount, Indiana, with photographer Dennis Stock, who helped to immortalize Dean through the black and white pictures he took of Dean walking around his uncle's farm, playing with his cousin Marky, and in one instance, climbing into a coffin in a funeral home and striking goofy, macabre poses. Altman's documentary presented Dean on audio tape talking with his family during that visit.
You know, I played a grandma, and I played a character in the movie East of Eden. His name was Cal.
Yeah. And I read that just before it came out here, the whole story.
What I wanted to ask is, you know, I went by the cemetery, and there's a name out there, you know, my great granddaddy, and named Cal Dean.
Yeah.
And it. So funny, you know, that I played the character Cal, and Cal is your father. Well, what was he like? Did he have any interest in art or anything?
No.
The army kind of kid, or what kind of guy was he?
He's auctioneer, one of the best.
He was one of the best auctioneers ever I've heard, and I've heard hundreds of them.
Well, what's it take to be a good auctioneer?
Mm-hmm.
What's it take to be a good auctioneer?
You got to be a good judge of stock. You got to be a judge of human nature. You've got to have a talent of it.
Well, do a little bit of it. How you doing? Suppose you start with $5 on that. You say five and a quarter. Who give me five and a quarter? Well, how's it go?
$2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5, $2.5 I'll tell you what kills auctioneers. If you take a man that talks to the public every day, he'll eventually get too much confidence in himself. He'll pull a lot of stuff and think he's getting by with it, but he ain't. And as soon as the people find out that you are doing it, they'll quit you. That's what kills all of them.
That's what kills an actor, too. Same thing. You gotta be an honest man along with it.
Thank you.
Chet Baker and Bud Shank performing Fairmount, Indiana from the soundtrack to the James Dean story. James Dean filmed Rebel Without a Cause and then Giant without a break during the spring and summer of 1955 as his star grew brighter and bigger and his already intense lifestyle accelerated even more. By turns selfish and kind, sullen and humorous, childlike and sexual, withdrawn and open to all kinds of experience, he always projected a searching sensation.
He beat out the rhythms of his life on a drum. He laughed. His days thundered with the roar of his experiments. Echoes of the thing he never found, the thing which kept escaping him, the thing that had no face, himself.
Thank you.
Chet Baker and Bud Shank performing Success and Then What from the James Dean story. Dean loved to race cars in his spare time. Because of the danger associated with such activity, the directors of both Rebel and Giant forbade him to do any racing while he was working on both films. His studio also badgered him into filming a traffic safety commercial with fellow actor and racing devotee Gig Young on July 29, 1955, in which he changed the last line from "your own" to "mine."
How fast will your car go?
Oh, an honest miles an hour. Clock that would run about 106, 7.
You've won a few races, haven't you?
Oh, one or two.
Where?
Well, I showed pretty good at Palm Springs. I ran a Bakersfield. People say racing is dangerous, but I'll take my chances on the track any day than on a highway. Well, Gig, I think I'd better take off.
Oh, wait a minute, Jimmy. One more question. Do you have any special advice for the young people who drive?
Take it easy driving. The life you might save might be mine.
A few weeks later, Dean was headed to Northern California to race in the same area where much of East of Eden had been filmed the year before. Rebel Without a Cause was set to open the very next month when he climbed into his new Porsche Spyder car on the morning of September 30th, 1955. Robert Altman's film recreated Dean's drive that day.
The road to Salinas follows the bottom land. It rolls past the hills of the Diablo Range. Giant was finished, and he was allowed to drive again. He was going to race his brand new car. A policeman stopped him once for speeding. And he had paused to stretch in the sun and drink a cup of coffee at a truck line cafe. He felt good. He knew someone would feed his cat while he was gone. He knew his horse was out in comfortable pasture. But he couldn't remember if he had made his bed or left the breakfast dishes in the sink.
The driver of the car that turned in front of Dean, a college student named Donald Turnipseed, suffered minor injuries. Dean's mechanic was hurt worse, thrown from the car. Dean, pinned behind the steering wheel, had his chest caved in and his neck broken. He was declared dead on arrival at the hospital. Like his mother 15 years before, he would be taken back from California to Indiana for burial. He was 24 years old.
He returned to his source and his beginnings. A quiet land to come home to. A place to replenish himself. Marky said,
"He came back here about 5 times, if you want to count this one."
The town was silent.
Let me be loved. Let me be loved. Let someone care for me. Let someone offer. Please let her heart understand. Want someone's smile. and love was there to see. Life was so wonderful then. Let me be loved again.
Chet Baker singing Let Me Be Loved from the soundtrack to the James Dean story. Thanks for tuning into this edition of Nightlights, which is dedicated to the memory of Carol Fields Johnson. Special thanks to engineer Jason Stahl. Support for Nightlights comes from the Laughing Planet Cafe and Soma Coffee and Juice Bar in Bloomington, Indiana. Nightlights is engineered by Michael Paskesh and produced in the studios of WFIU at Indiana University. You can listen to this and previous Nightlights programs and view playlists on our website at nightlights.indiana.edu. This is David Brent Johnson wishing you good listening for the week ahead.